So hello and welcome to this episode of the Resilient Farmer podcast. Farming is one of the oldest jobs in the world, and despite its evolution over thousands of years, there is no question that it remains one of the most important. Farming in England is changing again because of Brexit, climate change and other global issues. This podcast explores how to prepare for the future of farming and how to become resilient to changes in your finances, the environment and your personal life. My name is Manuela de Mendonca, and on the Resilient Farmer podcast this week, I will be speaking to George Cook from Andersons and Mark Thomas from FCN about farming in later life and aging with resilience. Would you two just like to introduce yourself quickly and give a brief outline of what it is that you do? George, if you'd like to go first.
Good afternoon. I am a senior farm business consultant with the Anderson Centre team based in Leicestershire. I've been a consultant for over 30 years now. Prior to that, I had 15 years farming experience.
Mark?
Hello, Manuela and George. Good to be with you today. I'm a staff member with the Farming Community Network, or FCN. And FCN exists to help improve the health and well-being of people in farming, and also to provide support through our local groups of volunteers to anyone in farming who might be experiencing a difficult time.
So I've got some questions for you about aging and farming in later life. But before I kick off with those, I wanted to ask you both what resilience means to you. I think it's a buzzword that we hear quite a lot in farming, and it does mean different things to different people. So if you wouldn't mind just saying what it is that it means to you.
My view is it's the business's ability to cope with adversity and opportunity by planning ahead and setting clear business and personal objectives.
Gosh, that sounded good. I'm not sure I can compete with that, George. I guess I'm probably going to come down on the human side of resilience, maybe, rather than specifically the business side. I think you're right, Manuela. It's a phrase that we hear a lot of. It does mean different things to different people. I think George has given a great summary there. I think for me, I tend to think in pictures. So I think of those children who used to have their ready break and go off to school with that glow around them, a force field perhaps to fend off the daily stresses of life. But I guess if one tries to put it into words, perhaps it's about navigating life's challenges in a way that doesn't allow them or reduces the impact they may have on us, stops them being big life-changing problems. And for me, there's probably some helpful resilience and less helpful resilience. Standing up when you get knocked down is a good quality, but I'm not sure that's an example of really good resilience. Personally, I'd rather people don't have to get knocked down in the first place. So I'd say helpful resilience is things like, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of these, but planning ahead, managing stress and knowing what stress looks like, taking control, getting a balance between farm work and farm life, being honest with ourselves about how we're feeling and how stressed we might be. And I think it's also about connection. It's not about going away on our own and becoming more resilient. It's actually about taking strength from those people we live and work with and our local community. And I think that engagement is a great builder of resilience.
So old age is hopefully something that comes along for most of us. Can you tell me some of the general challenges that you seem to see with people that you'll speak to within your jobs when it comes to farming into old age?
I think there's a number. There's clearly the physical limitations that you just don't move as quick. I think there can be a temptation to just carrying on doing things the way you've always done it. A lot of more senior farmers, if they went to college, probably haven't been back to do very much by the way of refresher or updating since. So they are, I don't like stepping their ways, but they have a method that works or has worked, but is becoming increasingly challenged with the changes that have taken place in the industry in terms of the other requirements on, rather than just growing a crop from one hedge, if you've still got a hedge, to another hedge, to actually managing a wider set of options that they've got on their farm, whether it's environmental, it's personal, it's people, it's all that sort of thing. So I think that's some of the challenges.
Mark, have you got any insights?
I think the first thing I'd say is we're very fortunate that this is a great industry to age within. In many ways, we're less ageist than many other jobs, I think. When you look at the average age of people in farming, clearly there's opportunity to keep going. But yes, in FCM, we do see some of the difficulties. We get calls from people who are experiencing some of those difficulties. And I would agree with George that obviously, I mean, it's a fact of life, isn't it, that the older we get, the more likelihood of physical and mental health affecting us on a daily basis. It's just a fact of life. You know, we would find situations where people, perhaps their whole life has been about farming. They don't want to stop farming. But as time goes by, it perhaps becomes difficult to continue doing things in the way that they've been accustomed to. So practical things like looking after livestock, getting out on the farm, mobility, strength, or all of those things can be affected. It's that feeling of not being able to let go, perhaps not wanting to let go of a way of life that's been so important to you, and not really knowing how to step back, and being so engrossed in it that, you know, perhaps as well as the physical side, there's the mental burnout that can happen. You just don't see the options that are available to you. Your head is down. You keep going. You keep trying to do what you've always done, and not having a plan for how one might adjust and adapt to that later stage in life, I think, is something else that we see.
I'm just going to add to that. That last point that Mark made can be particularly the case where there isn't succession and you can't necessarily see a way forward.
Should we talk about that, Ben? What happens if you don't have a succession plan in place and you don't have a family around you that maybe you can hand over farming to?
I think it's a very difficult situation for farmers, land managers, and it's not just farmers, it can be farm managers, it can be all of those engaged in the sector. But actually, it is a very full-on profession. It takes a lot of people's time. Whether all that time is productively used, it still fills the hours in a day. And there is a concern, I think, as to how you make that transition from farming to not farming, or to what you fill the hours in a day in. Now, some people are very good at it and they plan ahead and they think about it and they just let someone else farm the farm for them for a period of time and they carry on where they are, so their lifestyle doesn't change. But for others, particularly tenants, it's a different challenge. And what you've got to think on that, Mark?
I agree. And definitely the difference between those who are tenants, those who are owners, that's obviously going to affect the options that you have available to you. To go back to your question, Manuela, if one doesn't have children or children who wish to be involved in the farming or options for succession, obviously there's a reduced number of areas that you can look at. And the danger there is, I think, that that's the situation where you keep going. You just keep going and you try and do what you've always done. And for the reasons we spoke about before, that's not always possible. And it's not easy to step back from that day-to-day grind of running the farm, the day-to-day workload, all those jobs that have to be done, and actually think about a period of time ahead, maybe 10, 20 years ahead. How do I want my later life to look? How am I going to live well in that later life? And what are the things that I need to start thinking about? And if I haven't got succession, obviously that plan is going to have to look different. But actually, and I'm sure we'll come on to this, just taking those early steps to start to think about what you want your later life to look like, I think is really important.
I think just one other point there, we tend to look at succession as being family succession, but actually there are other ways of having a form of succession which don't involve necessarily quite the upheaval of leaving your community or leaving your area. And you can work with a neighbour, or a neighbour can do the majority of the land. There are other ways of retaining that sense of place and purpose for whoever it is that's farming the land.
That's a really good point, George. And if you don't have inbuilt succession, perhaps there's an opportunity to provide a first step for a new entrant into farming, somebody exactly. in your local community who might not have that opportunity otherwise. What a great way for you to share your experience, your technical knowledge, what you've learned during your farming career to a young person who's wanting to get started and wanting to get going. And actually, they'll have something to offer you as well in stimulating your thinking, helping you out physically on the farm, sharing the load, that kind of working together between perhaps the older and the younger generation. You know, in our farming community, I think is a real asset and probably something that we should try and develop more than we do at the moment.
There's such a different way of thinking about it, I think, to how a lot of people approach it. And I think even how I was thinking about it in my head as well. I don't know if you've got any more tips on how to start conversations about that, or if you know a farmer who's in their old age and who's doing quite a lot on their own and becoming isolated, I think those kind of people might not be the ones listening to this podcast, how to help them.
I think the first message, and I think we touched on it the other day, is that if anybody is listening to this who knows somebody who might be in that situation or who is in that situation, to find a way to open that door, as it were, just to get them to look at options. It's more difficult than it might be, or even to just suggest it to, even if it's through to FCN or somebody like that, just to get that first foot in the door. Because once that conversation starts, and it does take time to understand the individuals, but to actually then get the thought processes going, that it's not a hopeless task. Whether you eventually say, well, I'm going to sell up and go, I'm going to surrender a tenancy, or whether I'm going to joint venture and share farmer, and as Mark suggested, give a chance for someone new to come into the industry.
It's all about not trying to bite this off in too big a chunk initially, I think. I think it's something that, you know, we need to think about our later life in a positive and a hopeful way. It can be good. It needs to be good. We shouldn't start from the basis of it being difficult and challenging. Think what you want that to look like in your later life and how you will be able to live well and stay connected with farming, but perhaps stay connected in a different way than you have done for the rest of your life. Just taking a small step, perhaps being businesslike about it, making it an ongoing conversation. And I would say, to your point about there may be people who won't be listening to this, I go back to the point about the new entrants and the younger generation. There's a role for you here, which is to perhaps connect with people who are at this stage in their life, offer them support, offer to connect them with organisations that might be able to help. As George says, that might be an FCN or it might be a business consultancy like Anderson's. There is plenty of help and support out there, but sometimes people need a bit of encouragement to walk down that path. I would say there's a role for the local community to watch out, to be a lookout, to spot where people might need a bit of encouragement and support here. But this doesn't need to be an awful, unpleasant program. We need to get across that people can live well in later life, that planning ahead and taking those steps will help you get there.
It's not an admission of defeat.
Correct.
So how about for farmers who do have a big family around them and are having to have some slightly more awkward conversations about succession? I'm assuming you've both got examples of communications that you've had with people who are going through something like that.
Yes, definitely. And some have been good and some are not so good in the terms of the way that businesses have handled it. We quite often come across it, or we come across it in two ways. It's either the businesses we've been working with and the succession, as credit to the older generation, has gone relatively smoothly, or it quite often comes from a referral from another client or a bank or something like that. The manifestation may well be financial, but the reality is that there's a whole can of worms behind the scenes in terms of who is managing the business, who is doing the work, and there's often, and how the business policy is actually determined. It's trying to pick your way through some of that that then leads you on to the conversations that you need to have, probably with the individual separately, to just understand a bit more of the interpersonal mechanics of that business.
I think if you've got succession, if you've got children and they're interested, you obviously have more options available to you. But it doesn't mean those options are necessarily, as George was implying, any less complex to try and plan for. We take calls in FCN on a regular basis where combination of family relationship linked to succession has caused real division within the family, sadly. These are often very sensitive, complicated conversations to have. And I think that's probably why quite often they get put off, because it's difficult. It's a difficult subject to broach. If you have children, then some may naturally want to get involved in the farm. It may be that's a simple solution, or it may be, if there's several of them, that the business wouldn't necessarily, in its current state at least, be able to provide for all those people. It may be that some are interested and some aren't, which can again help you find a plan through this. It's not going to be easy. But I think, again, what we said previously, taking small steps, starting early, making this an ongoing conversation is really important. And I think as part of that, it's being able to have open and honest conversations with everybody who's involved, understanding what individual aspirations are, making sure that everybody has a say, that there isn't a dominant voice that is perhaps muting the opinions and the views of others, making sure that people have an opportunity to be honest and can say what they really think. And sometimes I think it can help to have a mediator or a facilitator, someone who is a third party, to come in and perhaps help that conversation. That might be the likes of George in his role as a consultant. It might be a friend or a neighbour that you feel you could trust to come and help with that. Or indeed, again, talking to an organisation like FCM, where we might be able to find someone who could assist in that way.
George, have you got any examples of times when you've had to go in and be a mediator for that kind of conversation?
Yes, on a number of occasions. Probably there's certain ones where it's very extreme, where decisions have been made by one generation and the senior generation wasn't even informed in one case, and the cows were supposed to be going down the road the next day. No communication at all. I use the analogy of trying to knock a wall down. The best way is not going to be to knock it down all in one hit, because you won't do it. But if you can start to pick certain elements off, to start to have those conversations about how the business is run, what the objectives and the aspirations of the younger generation are, but equally the concerns of the older generation and how they're going to be catered for. There's been a big change in the outlook in terms of relationships and all that sort of thing between generations. I think sometimes that gets overlooked, and that's the reason that nothing happens. Got examples of the other side of things where the succession has been handled very well and those businesses have progressed significantly. There's still just that senior generation, at least with the reins somewhere, but they only give it the odd tug every now and then just to make sure that the policy that's going forward has been thought through. It can be done, but it does take time.
What have they done then to get themselves in that position where you've got a senior generation sort of overseeing, but a younger generation?
I think the younger generation has to be able to communicate where they're trying to get to in terms of what they're trying to do. They need to probably prove themselves that they are technically competent. You've still got to work to a business plan. And then over a period of time, if you like, that younger generation earned their spurs, but the older generation are prepared to accept that they have, and to work together in the way they run the business is quite encouraging when you see it happen.
Mark, have you got any examples of what good looks like that you've seen?
I think George has really summarised it well. I mean, I think being realistic, communication is key, managing to keep those channels of communication open and understanding what everyone's goals are around the table, being businesslike about it, creating a plan together, a realistic plan together. And the earlier you start, the more time you have to be able to work through any differences or challenges that there might be. The key thing for me is this is something not to put off. It's very easy to put off. The longer you put it off, the more complex and difficult it's likely to become.
I think that there is a counter to that. We seem to be writing off the older generation. There are some very astute, very well-run businesses run by the more senior generation. And there is equally a danger the other side, that the younger generation think they're just going to step in and fill the boots without doing the hard yards that have been done before. So that's the counter. They've got to prove their worth to the business and not just expect to march in and live the life of Riley, as it were, at the expense of. There are examples of that going the other way, and you have sympathy with the senior generation then.
Something to bear in mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you two mind speaking a bit about what you're doing with Ricardo's Future Farming Programme? And if someone's listened to this podcast and thought, that's me, I need to start somewhere, but I think I might need a bit of help, how you two can help them doing that?
We start probably with the Future Farming Resilience Fund. The module that we are delivering does provide sufficient time, funded time, to at least start the succession ball rolling. It is a review of the business as it is and its future prospects in terms of profitability, Within that, there's then the sort of standard analysis of accounts, the strengths, weaknesses, objective opportunities, threats, etc. But then there's an opportunity to look forward and to deal with some of the issues, such as we've been talking about in terms of succession, in terms of how the business is run. You are running a business. You should take time out in the day to have effectively a board meeting. And there's things like that that we do. And this does provide a good chunk of pump priming time to do that. And it's then backed up with another day's worth of time a year for the next 3 years. So there's a significant opportunity there to get this ball rolling and start to position the businesses going forward post BPS and with all the other volatility that's out there in all sectors.
So you'll get a visit with that, won't you?
You get at least one. You'll probably get two. You'll probably get two with the first module, and then the following years, it's whether you want to just have an online discussion two or three times a year or whether you need another couple of visits, depending on how far away you are, to follow it up.
And that's completely free for the people receiving it, isn't it?
It's free and there are no strings attached. We've had questions, well, what's the catch? There isn't a catch.
It's all money that's coming from DEFRA and it's money that needs to be used.
Yeah, it's part of your modulated BPS, so use it.
And Mark, if people wanted to get in touch with you, how would that be helpful?
I think the great thing about the Ricardo programme is that it's recognising that change has an impact on both the business and on the people. George has articulated the support that's available to help people understand the business implications of agricultural transition and provide help and guidance in order to work through that. And I guess FCN's role really is to work alongside that and encourage people to think about how they stay fit and healthy through that change, because a successful farm business, I think, starts with healthy people. And our role really is to try and encourage thinking from that personal aspect of resilience, staying well and working through change successfully. So through the programme, people will be able to access business help through Andersons. And then obviously, if they would like to receive some personal support, that would be available through FCN.
So I think I've got a lot just out of speaking to you two. And I think my main two takeaways are, first of all, the fact that farming is a really good industry to age in compared to other industries. And second, the way you do it can actually be really positive, I think, in terms of opportunities for the next generation and finding a way that you can still farm and live well. Do you two have any top tips for people who want to start thinking about this for the first time?
There's the strategic in terms of making wills and putting powers of attorney in place while you are still fit and able to do so. A will can always be changed, but have something, a will is better than no will. And then on the practical side of things, it's actually being receptive to the changes that are taking place in the industry, working them into your business and helping your next generation to work with you to do that, and seek some help if you need it. Don't be proud.
Wills and powers of attorney were something that we've spoken about at other times but maybe haven't touched on today. I do remember you two both saying something as well about passwords, if I could just bring that up as well, and knowing how to sign a check. Is there anything you can speak to about that?
Yes, there is. Clearly, passwords are no good if they're in somebody's head and something goes wrong. The business mechanics, everyone in the business that is involved in the business should understand the business and the implications for decisions they're making, whether it's in terms of income to the business, cost to the business, and where that finishes up in the accounts. Without a doubt, that's an important area to do. You do not want to be in a position where you're suddenly left with a business to run in 40s or even 50s. We've had examples of. It's not fair on the younger generation.
Mark, any top tips for you?
Well, I think just continuing that line of thought, we certainly get calls to FCN where perhaps the prime worker on the farm is no longer able to do so. They've been taken unwell or Sandy died. And suddenly those who are left around them need to do the day job. There's animals to feed, cows to be milked, perhaps paperwork to be kept up together, bills to be paid, all of those things. So it's thinking ahead around, if somebody was to be taken unwell and couldn't show up to work for a week, would the business still be able to continue? And having a simple plan in place, it might just be a folder in the farm office that's got some of this key information everybody knows where they can access it to make sure that that continue. In terms of top tips, the kind of wider issue of thinking about living well in later life in farming, I mean, I'd say the first thing is probably to try and frame your thinking on this as an opportunity and not a threat. It's not something to be scared of. Try and look on it as an opportunity to put in place what you want that to look like for your farm business over the next few years. As we go through agricultural transition and beyond, there is help and support available, but making that early start, making those first few steps, keep reviewing it, be realistic, and recognizing that there's plenty of information out there that you can access, whether that's through the Future Farm Resilience Fund or doing your own research online. I'd encourage people to have a look at the FarmWell website, where there's lots of interesting information about staying well from a physical and a mental health perspective, but also looking at business planning and recognizing you're not alone, that that support and help is there, whether that be through an organization like Anderson's or indeed through FCN. You're not on your own through this. I think that's really important to remember.
I think that's everything from me in terms of questions. So thank you both very, very much for your time. It's been a really, really interesting discussion. I hope other people listening find it really interesting as well, and at least start speaking to other people about it.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Yes, thank you. Good to be with you.
The Resilient Farmer podcast will be back next month. If you'd like to speak to one of George's colleagues or even George himself about how to plan for later life, you can sign up for several days of completely free advice at ffrf.ricardo.com. We also have more podcast episodes, a skills toolbox, and the links to sign up to in-person workshops and online webinars. This podcast is produced by Ricardo, edited by Woods Noble Video, and funded by DEFRA. Thank you for listening.